Father, we just praise you and thank you for this time to be here in your presence. We thank you, God, for our time of worship. I can't thank you enough for those who serve in the worship ministry, Lord, just their hearts to worship you. And as they worship, Lord, we just follow along in suit and lift up our voices and lift up our hearts to you. And so we pray that that time has prepared us to receive now your truth. As we are in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, we know that the Apostle Paul is dealing with some challenges that are going on in that church. And Lord, we want to have ears to hear what was going on in that church so it doesn't happen here. We want the church here at Calvary and the church at large on this earth, Lord, to be in perfect line with you so that we can glorify you and grow in you. So we ask that you would bless this time as we study your word for your glory and for your honor. We pray all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So the church of Corinth, as you heard in my prayer, was full of problems, divisions, and splits. There was arguing going on inside the body of Christ in this church, largely because they were following the wisdom of man. And we talked about that last week, if you watched it online. Paul was dealing with this church that had this knowledge, this wisdom from man. In Corinth, there was this big thing about having the knowledge, and it was earthly knowledge. It was man's knowledge and didn't have any power. And so Paul is trying to get them to seek after the wisdom of God. And I don't think that changes for us in the days we live. We need God's wisdom in our lives. And we talked last week about how God's wisdom is available to us if we would simply ask. God's word says, I'll give it to you freely if you just ask me. And it's really slowing down life enough to say, Lord, I need your wisdom with this decision. Lord, I need this your wisdom to know which way to go in my life. Lord, I need this wisdom to know what you want my life to produce. And so seeking after the wisdom of God is the most important thing. They were knowledgeable in all kinds of different subjects. But again, nothing was changing in their spiritual lives. They had all this head knowledge, but it wasn't changing them spiritually. And we got to be careful, don't we? That our ideas, our thoughts don't puff us up, but hopefully humble us before God as he guides and directs us along the path that leads to him. Human wisdom will always have various answers for every problem. Don't you believe that? Everyone has an opinion in the world today. Everyone, and you can't criticize, you can't try to correct whatever someone's opinion is, you have to accept it. Well, it's different when it comes to the house of God and when it comes to the people of God. We should be seeking after God's wisdom. And I don't know about you, but I don't know everything. And you probably don't know everything, but we know one who does know everything. And if we would seek his wisdom, he would help us deal with these things and do it in a loving and caring way. They were boasting and glorifying in their own wisdom, and that was the problem that Paul was trying to address. And in fact, at the end of chapter 2, that's exactly what he was dealing with. Man's wisdom and God's wisdom, encouraging the believers to seek after God's wisdom. You can't mix the two, my friends. See, we can't just listen to the world in some areas and listen to God in all other areas. We always need to be listening to God, and that God would truly give us ears to hear him, give us hearts to understand what his word says and what his spirit says to us when we come to him in times of prayer and times of seeking. At the close of chapter 2, Paul clearly distinguished these two things, the natural man and the natural way of thinking, and the spiritual man and the spiritual way of thinking. I don't know how long you've been a believer, but hopefully from the day you gave your lives to Christ, the day you accepted Jesus as your Savior, hopefully you've been moving in a direction that grows you stronger and stronger in your faith, stronger and stronger in your walk, in your confidence, and trusting in God. Otherwise, what do we call it in the church? We call it backsliding. If you're not growing in the Lord, you're falling back in the Lord. And that's the two places that we can find ourselves. This morning, I want to talk about self-evaluation based on who we are in Christ. And if we call ourselves a Christian, are we progressing Till the very last breath we have on this earth, we're always going to learn more about God. Isn't that wonderful? That we'll never get to a place where, oh, I know everything about God. It's impossible. So it's a constant journey that we're on to learn more about God, to learn more about his character, and to adjust our character to line up with his. The spiritual man has been given by the Holy Spirit the mind of Christ. And I think if there's anything the church needs more of today, it's the mind of Christ. That we would think like Christ, that we would think godly, that we would think righteously, even against everything that's going on in the world. What was the trouble with the Corinthian church? They were acting in the flesh. And that's probably one thing that I think about a lot in ministry for the church that God has called me to. That in the beginning of our ministry, we sought the Lord, we prayed for the Lord, we wanted God to do everything, that at some point we don't get to a place where we rest upon our past experiences and trust in our own flesh. This verse always reminds me to keep my focus on God. It's Galatians 3:3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect in the flesh? The church in Galatia started out in the Lord. They started out trusting in God, but they got to a place where they started trusting in the flesh and setting aside the things of the Spirit. Guys, this is something we all as believers need to ask ourselves. Am I continuing in the Spirit or am I beginning to walk in the flesh? That's the battle. That's the fight. And that's the self-evaluation we need to ask ourselves. God, am I moving in the Spirit or am I moving in the flesh? Isn't that always the question when we have a decision? Lord, is this the direction you want me to go, or is this me wanting to go in that direction? Hopefully that's a question you ask of the Lord regularly. Lord, I want to be in the center of your will. I want to be exactly where you want me to be. And correct me if I'm off. That's the beautiful thing about God. Lovingly will correct us. Lovingly will keep us on that path if we're open to it. Self-evaluation. Start with verse 1, chapter 3. The Apostle Paul says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For there, where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal?" So give me your attention. We're going to stop right there. The first thing we're going to think about in our self-evaluation as the Apostle Paul looks at the church and looks at their condition spiritually, and he's seeing carnality. He's seeing more flesh than spirit. He's seeing more infighting than loving on each other. That first self-evaluation, I want you to ask yourself this question. Are you growing in the Lord? Are you growing more in the Lord every single day? We have to be careful, if we've been a believer for any length of time, that we think we get to a place of having achieved, having arrived. None of us have become Christ yet, have we? None of us have come to that place in our lives where we have surrendered everything in our flesh. And so as the Apostle Paul looks at this church, four times in these four verses, he speaks of the word carnal. And that word carnal means of the flesh. The first one that he says in verse 1, that first word that says, let me read it again. "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as carnal, as to babes in Christ." When the Apostle Paul got to Corinth, he saw people, listen, that were fleshy. We're all fleshy. We're all in the flesh. We're born of the flesh, right? Jesus said, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. And as the Apostle Paul came to the people in Corinth, he first had to deal with their flesh. He says, listen, I couldn't deal with you on a spiritual level because you were all in the flesh. And there are times in our lives where we act fleshy. We act upon the flesh. Boy, those are the battles that we have to fight in our spiritual walk with God. Lord, I don't want to walk in the flesh. I want to walk in the Spirit. Is that a desire of your heart? And are you growing in the Lord? Are you more spiritual today than you were yesterday? Are you more mindful of the things of God today than you were yesterday or a year ago? Gosh, I hope we all are growing because none of us, again, arrive. Listen, I'm a pastor of a church, but I'm still growing in the Lord. I'm still dealing with the things of the flesh. And we will never stop dealing with the things of the flesh until when? Christ takes us out of here. I'm ready for that. Aren't you going to be, it's going to be amazing when we get to heaven and say, wait a minute, I'm not thinking of myself all the time? Wait a minute, I'm not thinking about satisfying my flesh any longer in heaven? Oh, as we're beholding the glory of God, listen, all that's going to go away. Praise God for that, because sometimes I despise my flesh. I sometimes look at my fleshly attitudes and I'm like, Lord, why is that still there? And you know what God tells me? So that I can reveal another aspect of my grace in your life. Thank God for grace that deals with the things of our flesh. Now, we shouldn't act out in the flesh knowing God's grace is there. We should try to refrain from that, right? We should be sinning a lot less than we did before. But God's grace is there when we do. Paul says, you're fleshly people. But notice what he says in the first verse. He says, and I, brethren, he calls them, they're saved. Here's the thing. Sometimes we act out in the flesh, but it doesn't change our salvation, guys. God saved you when you were fleshy. God changed you when you still were living for the flesh. God bless you. And it's like, we have to understand we're in this flesh, but God's grace is available to us when we act fleshy, or fleshly even. He calls them brethren, and he calls them babes in Christ. See, they're in the Lord, but he doesn't want them to stay there. He speaks about milk. He speaks about meat. I mean, nobody gives a newborn baby a prime rib sandwich or a prime rib steak. Right? You feed them milk. You give them the things that they need to nourish them. And that's the same thing in our spiritual walks. In the beginning, when we first got saved, we're learning all about Jesus. Do you remember when you got saved? Did you know everything about Christ in that moment? No. You had to learn it over time. It took me quite a bit of time to understand fully what it meant that Jesus died on a cross for my sins. I didn't know that the moment I gave my life to God. He had to begin to work in that. I had to begin to grow in him. But he's calling them brethren and babes in Christ. The problem was they were staying there. And that's the thing that will hinder a church, a community, a family, if we are moving and operating in the flesh and acting like babies. God wants us to grow up, guys. God wants us to be mature. God wants us to be perfect. God wants us to be at that place where we have learned a few things about God and we can apply them to our lives. I'm thankful that God saved me. I'm thankful that Jesus died on a cross for me. I'm thankful that one day I'm going to be risen from the dead. And all of those things are wonderful things to know, but do they help us when rubber meets the road and when we're dealing with people and we're dealing with life? That's what Paul's trying to say. Maybe you understand the basic things about Christianity, but you are not applying them to your life, especially when there's fighting. The enemy loves division in a church. He loves it when you fight with your spouse. He loves it when you yell at your children. The challenge is, do we do it in a godly way? I love hearing about parents that discipline their children in a godly way. Doing it with love, not out of anger. With respect, teaching and training their children to do what's right. Aren't you glad God doesn't just zap us every time we do something wrong? That would be awful. It would be very obvious too, wouldn't it? To other people around us. The Apostle Paul preached to this church of believers for a year and a half and taught them the things of Christ, and they never moved from that basic understanding and that basic knowledge. because they were so focused on the things of the world. And when we focus on the things of the world more than we focus on the things of God, guess what? We're going to be more worldly. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful with the things that we're allowing to come into our minds. I've heard people have reached out to me and asked how they can trust in that God is real and trust that Jesus really is the Messiah because they're watching YouTube videos on the contrary. And I tell them all the time, garbage in, garbage out. You got to seek the Lord. You got to listen to biblical teaching of the Word of God. That's what leads you into things of God, and that's what helps you grow in the Lord. Verse 3 says, for you are still carnal, you're still of the flesh. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? So this is the test. When we come and we gather together on Sunday mornings, when we get together with other people in the church or other believers, what's our conversation about? Are we arguing with each other? Are we talking about other people? Please, I pray if you get together with other believers and one starts complaining about someone else, stop the conversation. Be that Christian that says, this is not right. Let's have this conversation with this individual. Because that's what they were doing. They were arguing because they wanted to be smarter than others. We don't need a lot of smart people in the church. We need a lot of people that are seeking after the Lord and His wisdom, right? There's nothing wrong with education. There's nothing wrong with learning things. There's nothing wrong with being smart, but you got to use it in the proper way. When someone uses their knowledge to puff themselves up, that's not being godly. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. You're not living according to the Spirit. You're living according to man. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. Hopefully you bookmarked there. Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to pick up in verse 12 and read right into chapter 6. Hebrews 5 and 12. The writer of Hebrews tells us the same thing was going on in the church of the Hebrews. It says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Same idea. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So this is how we grow. This is how we understand that we're receiving meat and not just milk. Verse 1 of chapter 6 says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from deeds, from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrines of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. And so give me Paul, what Paul is saying, or excuse me, the writer of Hebrews is saying, I believe it's Paul, is saying, listen, let's move on from the foundational truths, the foundational principles of our faith. It's important for us to know that Jesus Christ saves sinners. It's important to know that he has risen from the dead and we one day will rise from the dead. All of these things are basically Christianity 101. But if we talked about it every single time, the simple basic truths in the church, we would never grow. It's important to have that context so people will get saved, but once they get saved, they need to grow. Once we understand the foundational truths of Christianity, Paul says, move on from that. Let's grow in that. And that's what he's trying to say even in 1 Corinthians. Don't stay there. I've known a man. Well, I knew, I should say, it's been a long time since I've seen him. I don't know where he's at right now. But I mean, I'd known him for a long time, and he never seemed to grow up in the Lord. He was one of these guys that constantly cheated on his wife, constantly struggled with keeping a job, constantly struggled. And it's just like he never fully grasped what it meant to be a believer. He was a complainer. He was not content, obviously, where he was, but he was seeking the wrong things. Guys, there has to be growth in our walks with the Lord. And that's the beautiful thing about a church, because we want to help people grow. I want to see you increase in your faith. I want to see you increase in your trust in God. Every time something happens in your life, does it knock you off the horse? Does it knock you down? Does it beat you up? Or do you go, Lord, I need your help? Because I believe the challenges that we have in our lives are opportunities for God to work and opportunities for God to get the glory. Is it comfortable? No. But God's always at work, isn't he? What is God doing in your life right now? Because if we think about it, God's always at work. God always wants to do something in your life. God always wants to reveal something to you, that his grace is enough for you. So what is it in this season of your life? Because we need to live in the world that we live in today. The problem with the Hebrews was just like the problem in the Corinth. They were dealing with the things of the flesh. Milk, as we see, chapter 6 tells us, those things of the of milk are the foundation of repentance. The doctrines of baptism, water baptism, baptism of the Spirit, laying on of hands. Do we truly believe that if we lay hands on each other, we can be healed? The writer of Hebrews is saying that's foundational, that we should believe that because we see it in the scriptures. We need to move on from that. So milk are the elementary principles of Christ. Knowing that Jesus died on a cross to save our sins, that's something we must understand, is milk. We must move on from that. Listen to what meat is. Meat is preaching that unfolds the fullness of the gospel so that people grow up in the Lord. And with that, go from Hebrews, now go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, in verse 11, we read this. It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Here it is. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Each and every one of us are on a journey to become more Christ-like. Has anyone arrived? Have you become Christ-like? No, but that's the process that we're on. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says, this is how we grow, guys. We all work together in the body of Christ, all doing our part, all unique, all different. Aren't you glad we're not all the same? Aren't you glad we're not all just cookie cutters of each other? God has given gifts and talents to every single one of you in this room, and you need to be using that gift and talent as you grow in the Lord for the edifying of the body of Christ. It says, till we all come to the fullness. We're to work together. The strong ones help the weak ones get stronger so that they too can help others get stronger. Maybe there's people in your family. God's called you to minister to them. Maybe there's people in your workplace or in your school or wherever it is you are. God's called you to edify the body of Christ, growing in the things of God. That's meat, my friends. Hey, it's wonderful that we're all saved. It's wonderful that we all know we're going to heaven if we've given our lives to Christ. But if there's someone in this room that's being deceived, if there's someone in this room that's being overwhelmed by the things of the world and the things the enemy wants to do in their life, it's our responsibility as a church to help that person. And the only way we're going to find that out is through relationship, to help others come closer to God, to help others come closer to Christ. The fact that Christ died for my sins is milk. The fact that I died with Christ and now have the mind of Christ, that's meat. As a believer, your mind is being transformed by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God. And if that transformation is happening, you're going to see the world a whole lot differently. See, it's real easy for us to look out at the world and go, shame on them. I can't believe they're doing that. They're making us do this. They're making us do that. This, but do we look at the world with the eyes of Christ and go, they're lost. They're scared. They don't understand the truth. We should be the strong ones. We should be the ones that have the answers, my friends, because God has given us his word and we know the end already. Do you know the end? Do you know what it says at the end of your Bible? It says that we're going to be in the presence of God. We're going to be walking on a street of gold. Man, think of the selfies we're going to take up there. In front of the gold. No, there won't be cell phones in heaven, thank God. Ooh. A few months ago, I closed my Instagram account. And one of my friends texted me last night. He goes, did you get rid of your Instagram account? I go, yeah. I said, I needed to take a break. He goes, well, no, that's too bad. I go, oh, no, it's not. I said, I really enjoy life a little bit more without having to worry about that. So amazing to me that we can get caught up in these things and be consumed by other people's opinions. I think it's good. We should understand people's opinions, but we need to understand God's opinion. More importantly, what is God's opinion on your life? And are you growing in him? That's milk. That's milk. The Corinthians already knew that they had been gifted by God, by the Spirit. Paul said that in the first chapter. So that you come short in no gift. He was talking about, you've been gifted. Don't come short in your gift. Use your gift. I think that's the greatest way for the enemy to stop the work of God is to keep you from using your gift. If you know you're gifted, use it for God's glory. Not to bring attention to self, but to bring the glory to God. True meat is when we understand that the sufferings of this world, of this time, are for the glory of God. When the Apostle Paul said, I don't even begin to compare the sufferings of this current day for the glory that's yet to be real. He had the right idea. He had the right focus. And we can't focus on that. We have to focus on the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. That's true meat. That goes beyond the foundation. And I want to show it to you. Galatians 5:22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. That's meat. Is love being produced out of your life? Are you someone that's patient? Are you long-suffering? Again, that's the transformation that needs to happen. For the church at Corinth, they're arguing with each other. They're not loving each other. They don't care about each other. If we're truly going to have a heart, we need to care about God. And we need to care about other people and react that way in love. Yesterday, a friend texted me, and he said he had one of the hardest devotions he ever had to read yesterday morning, but he's going to apply it to the rest of his life. And I wanted to read it to you. It says, if you are a follower of Christ, you must love everybody in the same way that Christ loves you. That means you are to accept them completely, love them unconditionally, forgive them totally, and consider them extremely valuable, whether you like them or not. I thought that was a powerful statement when you truly think about it. If we have the mind of Christ, if we are followers of Jesus, then we're going to treat people the way he treats people. Loving them, being wise, but also being loving, caring on people. It's a hard thing to do. And that's what I told him. It's, boy, that's a hard thing to do. But with God's help, we can do it, can't we? You can't do it in your own strength. I can't help, you know, motivate you to do that, but God can. God can equip you to love on your enemies. Whew. We all know we need God for that. Because we want God to get our enemies, right? Lord, get them. Revenge. And what's Jesus say? I died on a cross for them too. Oh, Lord. Conviction. So maybe we all, little by little, have to be a little bit more loving towards people we don't like. Because that's being Christ-like. And we got to do that together, guys. If there's someone in your life you're having a hard time loving, ask someone to help pray around you for that. Maybe even lay hands on you so that you can show Christ to them. I've always said one of the greatest works of God is when he can turn one of your enemies into a brother or sister in Christ. And God can do that because he did that in all of our lives, didn't he? He transformed all of us to be loving and caring. Uh-oh, somebody not happy. Back to 1 Corinthians. Ouch. We're in verse 5. Paul goes on and says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Paul basically challenges them in their arguing with each other. You know, some were saying, oh, I'm a follower of Paul, or I'm a follower of Apollos, and, you know, all these, the infighting that was going on. And Paul's like, why are you focusing on us? We're nothing. That's humility at its best. To be used by God and to give God all the glory. The second thing I want you to ask yourself, not only are you growing in the Lord, but are you ministering for the Lord? Are you ministering for the Lord? See, not only ministers, pastors, leaders should minister. As believers, all Christians should minister to others. Minister to your kids. Minister to your friends. Minister to your families. Are we ministering? Because that's what Paul says here. So he says, so neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. We all get to a place where we go, I want to make myself available to God to be able to minister and love on people, but I'm not the one doing the work. God is. So that's why the Apostle Paul can say, we're all nothing. It's God that's everything. We're in trouble when we think God needs me. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, do you ever think that? Boy, God's lucky to have saved me and brought me into his family. What a lucky God is. I feel like I'm lucky that God brought me into his family. When you see God working in your life, man, there's nothing greater. There's nothing greater when you just sense the Spirit on you, when you sense God's grace flowing through you. Man, there's just nothing more powerful than that. And when we get the opportunity to minister effectively to someone else, we are witnessing the work of God, the work that God did in us and the work that God is doing through us. What a beautiful thing that is. Jesus said it this way in Matthew's gospel. He said, "And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus, the Lord, the one we serve, is the one who came to serve, not to be served. He set the example for us. He showed us the way. He showed us how we should do it. He made that example for us. The one who should receive our glory, who should receive our praise, humbled himself to be a servant. You're a servant if you're a believer. You're a servant of God, and he can and will use you. How do you think of yourself when you walk through those doors in church? Is your mindset, boy, I hope I get blessed today. Boy, I hope I receive something today. And we all should. But let me ask you this. Are you here to receive a blessing or to be a blessing? Because there's a difference. If you come before the Lord and say, "Lord, I want to be a blessing to someone else," you know what happens? You too get blessed. If you come to be a blessing, you will receive a blessing. Because that's what God wants to do in us. He wants us to be a blessing, not only to him, but to others. So I ask you, pray and ask God to make you a blessing to someone else. It is so, so rewarding. And that's ministering. And as Paul says, God gives the increase. God doesn't need us. But aren't you glad he uses us? I sure am. I'm glad he uses us. It helps us get out of our own heads. Helps us get out of our own ways when we're serving him. Lastly and finally, verse 9. And we'll look at this again next week. But it says, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." The fact that God asks us to co-labor with him, to work alongside him, should be an amazing privilege for all of us. I think God wants to use your life. And I know for many of us, we look back on our past and we say, "I'm not worthy, not qualified. I made a lot of mistakes." That's the beautiful thing about the grace of God. God cleans all that up and God puts you in a place where you can be used. Because ultimately, he's the one that's going to receive all the praise for it. So, are you working with the Lord? Is the final question. Are you working with the Lord? If you're trying to do things for your own benefit, you'll be dissatisfied. But if you work with the Lord and let him reveal things to you, that's when you receive all the blessings from God. It's an amazing thing to be able to share the work with God, that he would truly, he doesn't need us, right? We know that. He doesn't need us. But he invites us to be a part of it so that we can learn from him, so that we can experience the things that God experiences. It is a blessing to God's heart when he sees someone's heart change, when he sees someone's life change, when he sees someone's thoughts change. Think about how you used to be before you came to the Lord. I sometimes think about that and I'm like, wow, I was so selfish. I was so self-seeking. Wanted to get things for myself, make the most amount of money, do all the things that the world claimed as successful. And then God got a hold of my heart. And that all changed. It all changed. And God gives you a life that is so filled with amazing things. As you look at your past and see God's hands and God's work and his grace woven into your life, don't miss those things. Don't forget those things. Be reminded of what God has done in your life. If you have to, write it down. Let God use you. And that just means getting out of his way, right? Making yourself available so that he can just guide and direct your life. Ephesians 2:20 says this, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. That's the goal, guys. That's the final achievement. And being built as a body, built as a believer that is being used, being a part of God's work, brick by brick, as God sets you in place in the world to be used by you, to be used by him. You just have to let God use you. Make yourself available for him. Are you growing? When we make this self-evaluation, are we like the church at Corinth? God, I'm thankful that we have a loving church that cares about each other, that I see people's relationships growing stronger together. That's what we can do. That's when we can overcome the things of the world. We don't have to worry about what's happening in the world. We have to worry about what God wants to do in our hearts, in our lives. That self-evaluation is, am I growing in the Lord? Am I ministering with the Lord? Am I working with God? Because God wants to use you guys. Here's the beautiful thing. I want you to leave with this. God won't force you to work for him. Your employer kind of makes it mandatory for you to show up and do your job, isn't it? God doesn't. God just says, you want to come and show up to work today? I'll use you. But we have to start out each and every day going, Lord, what do you want to do with me? Lord, how? What? I've heard of people, I think it's even George Mueller who said that every morning he wake up and spend time with his king, anticipating God using him. Our problem many times is we don't anticipate God using us. And we just go through the routine of life and miss opportunity after opportunity for God to use us. Don't let opportunities pass. Don't let opportunities go by you without being used by God. Listen to the voice of the Spirit. Maybe God's saying, go knock on your neighbor's door. Have a conversation. Maybe God's saying, text an old friend. Maybe God's saying, send a note to someone. Encourage them. Listen to the voice. Because God wants to touch this world. And he's only going to do that through the church, through believers. So do your part. And if we all do our part, we're going to grow in the Lord, because we're going to come in here and go, guess what God did with me today? Guess what God did with me this week? So let's pray that we're available to the working of the Lord today, not tomorrow. God works on Sundays. God, use us today, because we're making ourselves available. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you so much for your word today. And we know, Lord, as we go through 1 Corinthians, there's much that this church needed instruction about. But Lord, we also learn of the value of the Spirit of God, the dependence upon the Holy Spirit in our lives, and especially in a church. So God, help us to continue in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Let us trust you every step of the way. Let us surrender our hearts afresh every morning Because we can get so consumed with responsibilities and duties and going to work and then raising the kids and cooking dinner, all these things that, Lord, just overwhelm us. God, help us to endure those things when we feel you moving in us, being with us, speaking to us. The Apostle Paul and many of the disciples did not live easy lives. But boy, when we see the way they reacted, even under suffering, they did it with the right attitude, with the right heart. God, we want to be like them. We want to love on our enemies. And we can't do that without you. So I pray for each and every one in this room, that God, that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit, that you would convict them of sin in their lives, and that they would ask for forgiveness and feel your grace upon them. And may they feel empowered by your Spirit, Lord, to share your grace with others, to love certainly on each other in the church, but also the people in the world. For we were once like them. They need you, Lord. So help us to draw them to you, lead them to you, for your glory, for your honor, and for your praise. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.